This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayishlach, and we'll start our Shir on chapter 32, verse number 4, the beginning of the Parsha. The Parsha says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanov, Yaakov sent angels or messengers in front of him, El Esav Achiv to Esav his brother, Arz Seir to the land of Seir, Sdei Edom the field of Edom. Vayitzav Oysom Leimor, he commanded them to say, Koy Somru Ladoni Leisav, so you should say, to my master, to Esav, Koi Omar Avdechol Yaakov, so did your servant Yaakov say, Im Lavon Garti, with Lavon I have sojourned, Vu'eichar Ad Oto, and I have lingered until now. Rashi on the Pasuk, Garti says, that Yaakovin was trying to tell Esav that he's only a sojourner, meaning that since our father blessed me, that I should be a master over my brother, and yet, I am only a sojourner, I never became a minister, I never became somebody important in the house of Lavan, then obviously the blessings of our father did not take effect. If that is so, there is no need for you to hate me, because since in Lavan Garti, I was there for 22 years, and all I've become is a sojourner, obviously the blessings that Yitzchok gave did not come true, and since the blessing that Yitzchok gave did not come true, then you don't have to hate me for the blessings that I received from Yitzchak. The second interpretation, Rashi said, that Garti is the same letters and the same numerical value as the word Taryak, 613. That means that Yaakov says, Im Lavon Garti, I have sojourned with Lavon, I have resided together with Lavon, the evil one, and nonetheless, the Taryak mitzvah Shomarti, I still maintain the 613 mitzvahs, I did not learn from his bad deeds. Meaning that I was in the house of Lavan and I was still able to keep the 613 mitzvahs. And the simple interpretation is that since the only time that Esav could win Yaakov is when Yaakov does not keep the mitzvahs, when Yaakov is not performing what he's supposed to do, then Esav has a chance to get to a higher position. I kept the 630 mitzvahs, so therefore, Esav, you don't stand a chance against me. Yaakov, according to simple interpretation, came from a position of strength and a position of weakness. He was trying to say, number one, you don't have to hate me because the blessings did not take effect. And number two, that if the blessings did take effect, then you don't have a chance against me because I still maintained the 630 mitzvahs. Sefer Shem and Rosh gives a different interpretation on the word Im Lavon Garti, Im Lavon have sojourned. And that is based on the Ramban on Bereshis chapter 26, verse number 5, where the Pasuk says, Ekev asher shama Avram bekoli, that I'm going to protect you because Avram Avinu listened to my voice, Vishma Mishmarti, and protected my safeguards, mitzvoisai, my commandments, chukoisai, my decrees, v'toroisai, and my Torahs. There, all the Mefarshim say that Avram Avinu kept the Torah before Torah was given. And the Ramban says that not only Avraham Avinu kept the Torah before it was given, our forefathers also kept the Torah before it was given. Then the Ramban asks a question, if that is true, how is it possible that Yaakov Avinu married two sisters, meaning that he married Rachel and Leah, where there is clearly a prohibition in the Torah? On Parsha Zachemaz, on Vayikra, chapter 18, verse number 18, it says, Ve'isha el achoiso lo isikach, and a woman, in addition to her sister, you should not take litzroir, to cause them to become rivals, legalois ervosa leo bechayeo, to uncover her nakedness in her life, meaning, if you married to a woman, you are not allowed to marry her sister while she is alive. Then the Ramban asks a question, how is it possible that Yaakov Avinu kept Torah, and yet Yaakov Avinu directly transgressed this prohibition of the Torah that says that you cannot marry a sister of your wife. And here Yaakov married Rachel after he was married to Leah. The Ramban answers that our forefathers only kept Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, in Eretz Yisrael, they made the Torah an obligation. They kept the full Torah. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, they only kept Torah voluntarily. They didn't believe that they have to keep the whole Torah. Therefore, since the marriage of Rachel and Leah took place outside of Eretz Yisrael, Therefore, there was not prohibited to Yaakov Avinu to marry two sisters. The Ramban continues and says that that's why as soon as they came to Eretz Yisrael, Rachel had to die. Meaning, since Rachel is the illegal sister, because the first sister that Yaakov married was Leah, and prohibition is to take an additional sister as a wife, then Rachel was the illegal sister, and technically she should have died as soon as we got into Eretz Yisrael, because it's illegal to be married to two sisters in Eretz Yisrael. But the fact that she remained alive in order to have Binyamin and she was buried in Eretz Yisrael was only bishusa, was only because of her merit, and that's why she was able to stay in Eretz Yisrael. But nonetheless, the Ramban is of the theory that outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Avos, our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, did not keep Torah. Only in Eretz Yisrael, they were obligated to keep Torah. But there's another answer why Yaakov Avinu was able to marry two sisters. And the answer is that since Lavan was idol worshipper, and Rachel and Leah are considered as converts, and we have a rule that in Yevamos, Daf Chav Beis, Amud Aleph 22a, that says there that Gershon is Gayer, Kekotn Sheno Eladome, that if a convert converts, then he's considered like a newborn baby, and he's entitled to marry his old relatives biblically, meaning that biblically they could marry their own relatives. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that brother and sister, if they convert biblically, they could marry each other. The only reason that they would don't allow them to marry each other, that they shouldn't say that before when they were non-Jews, they had a prohibition against marry a sister. Now that they become Jews, that prohibition is lifted. Then it would seem that the holiness of a goy is lighter than the holiness of a Jew, that they're coming from a kedusha chamura li kedusha kala. Therefore, the rabbis instituted the prohibition that you're not allowed to marry those relatives. But that is only a rabbinic decree. But biblically, since they are considered like newborn babies, then there is no relationship between them. All halachic relationship between the two sisters were gone. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu was able to marry two sisters. And that is, according to the Sefer Shemeroish, what Yaakov Avinu was telling Esav. That im lavon garti, that im lavon I have sojourned, but lavon garti means that im lavon I also made converts. That even while I was in the house of lavon, I made gerim. Not only I sojourned in the house of lavon, I did the same thing as my forefathers Avraham and Yitzchak did when they were in Eretz Yisrael, as it's written in the Medrash Rabbah in Vayeshev Parsha Pei Dalet 84 Simon. Dalat Simon 4, that says that Vayeshev Yaakov, Yaakov dwelt Be'eretz Megurei Aviv in the land of sojourning of his father, which means Be'eretz Megurei Aviv in the land that his father made converts, meaning that Yaakov also made converts in the same way that his father Yitzchak and his father Avraham made. Therefore, Yaakov was hinting to Esav that while he was at the house of Lavan, he made converts. Esav did not understand the hint. That's why Esav on chapter 33, verse number 5, where there it says, Va'isa es Einav, and Esav raised his eyes, Va'yares Anoshim, and he saw the women, Vesayelodim, and the children, Va'yomer, he says, Mi Eilalach, who are these to you? And there Yaakov answers, Va'yomer, he says, Hayelodim, these are the children, Asher Chonan Elokim es Abdecha, that Hashem graciously gave to your servant, meaning, the children that Hashem gave me. The Ramban asks a question that Esav not only asked for the children, Esav asked for the women too, because the pasuk says that Vayares Hanoshim Vesayolodim, he saw the women and the children, and he asked on both of them, Mi Eilalach, who are these to you? And yet, Yaakov only answered, Hayolodim Ashechon Elokim Asavdecho, only the children that Hashem graced your servant. Why didn't Yaakov answer about the wives? The Ramban answers that Yaakov was giving Esav Musar, that it's not nice to talk about the wives. Therefore, Yaakov only answered that these are the children that Hashem gave, and Esav would understand that these are the mothers of those children. That once Esav knows that these are his children, then Esav would understand that these women are the mothers of the children. Sefer Shemen Rosh, before he explains this pasuk, makes a point that we know that there is two names of Hashem. One name of Hashem that denotes mercy, Rachamim, and that is the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And then we have the name of Hashem that denotes justice or strength, and that is the name Elohim. And here when Yaakov is talking about the children that Hashem gave, he uses Hayelodim Asher Chonan Elohim Esavdecho, the children that Elohim gave to your servant. Why is Yaakov specifically using the name Elohim in front of Esav? Therefore, Sefer Shemen Rosh says that Esav's question was a much stronger question. Esav was wondering that you sent the angels to me, and the angels said, "Im lavon garti," and Rashi explains, "the tariag mitzvahs shomarti," that you kept the 630 mitzvahs. Then Esav asked, "If you kept the 630 mitzvahs, mi elelach, who are these women to you?" Meaning, part of the 630 mitzvahs is not to marry two sisters, and here you saying that you kept the 630 mitzvahs, yet you are married to two sisters. As a matter of fact, he wasn't married according to the Daz Akenim Bala Toisves and according to the Orachaim HaKodesh to two sisters. He was married to four sisters, because according to them, Bila and Zilpah were also sisters of Rachel and Leah. Then Esav's question is, how can you marry four sisters? And Sefer Shemen Rosh explains that this is exactly what Yaakov Avinu answered, meaning that Yaakov Avinu answered, Hayeladim asher chonan Elohim esavdecha. These are the children that Elohim graced your servant, meaning that I told you that im lavon garti, that im lavon I resided, and I sojourned im lavon, I kept the 630 mitzvahs, and also I made converts. And every time I make a convert, they are considered kekotn shenoilat, like a newborn child. That means that even though these matriarchs are older women and they have children, but nonetheless, they are ayeladim ashechon Elohim. Legally, they are in the category of children. Once they come under Hashem and they become new converts, then Midas Adin says that I could marry them. The attribute of justice of Hashem says that I could marry them, because since they are now, they are new people, and if they are new people, then there is no relationship between them. Therefore, I could marry all four sisters, because these are the Yeladim, they are like the young children that Hashem gave. Then according to this Shemen Rosh, Yaakov Avinu was answering not only regarding the children, he was actually answering regarding the mothers too, regarding the matriarchs, the women. And therefore, the question of the Rambam is answered. Another explanation, Sefer Shemen Rosh says that when Esav asked, Ma elelach, what are these to you? And the question, as he explained, is, how did you marry two sisters if you're telling me that you kept 630 mitzvahs? How is it possible that you married two sisters when that is prohibited? Sefer Shemen Rosh says that Yaakov Avinu answered that these are the children Ashechonan Elohim that Hashem gave to me. Meaning that from the fact that I have children and Hashem gave me these children by the Midas Elohim, by the attribute of justice, that proves that I didn't do anything wrong. And Sefer Shemen Rosh explains it based on Sefer Alufa Yehuda regarding Hanukkah. It's famous, the question of the Beis Yosef in Simen Tov Reish Ayin 670, where the Beis Yosef asks, why did the rabbis establish the miracle of Hanukkah for 8 days, when we know that the miracle of Hanukkah was only for 7 days? Meaning, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chof Aleph Omed Beis 21b there says that why is there Hanukkah? So they explains that when the Yevonim, when the Greeks came into the temple, they contaminated all the oils of the temple. And when the Hashmonaim won, they checked and found only one flask of oil that was laying with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. And there was only enough oil to light one night. They lit and it lasted for 8 days. Therefore, the next year they established a Yom Tov for praise and thanks to Hashem. In other words, there was enough oil for one day, but a miracle happened that oil lasted to light the candles for 8 days. Then the Beis Yosef asked a question, if there was enough oil to light for the first day, obviously there was not a miracle on the first day. Then why did they establish the miracle for 8 days, if the miracle only happened for 7 days? And one of the answers of the Beis Yosef is that they took the oil, they divided in eight, meaning that they only put an eighth of the oil for each night, and that oil lasted for the 8 days, therefore there was a miracle even in the first day. Mefarshim asks a question, how is it possible that the rabbis would allow you to divide the oil in eight and then have to rely on a miracle, maybe that oil is going to last or not going to last, where they could for sure light the menorah for one night? Why put a doubt even if one night is going to be lit? By you dividing in eight, you assume that it's going to be a miracle. Then why not light the first night complete and then have a miracle that is going to be enough for another 7 days? How is it possible that the rabbis won't take a sure thing to make sure that the menorah is lit at least one day and risk it not being lit even one day? Sefer Alifiyu, the answer is based on the Shoyle Meshiv answers to Tosfos' question. Tosfos there asks a question, how is it possible that the rabbis decided to use the oil just because they found it sealed with the seal of the high priest and that proved that it was not opened by the Greeks? There is another way to contaminate the oil even without opening, and that is Tumas Hesed, that when you counterweight that oil, meaning if you lift up that oil, even though it was in a sealed bottle, that oil would become contaminated. And Tosfos asks, then how did they use this oil if it's possible that the non-Jew lifted it up even though he didn't open it, and then that oil would have become contaminated? Then why did the rabbis choose to use that oil? Tosfos gives two answers. Tosfos says it could be that they found it in the ground and they knew that nobody touched it, nobody lifted it up. Or it could be that it was before the decree that they made that a non-Jew would contaminate in that particular way. But the Shoyle Meshiv answers that is the reason why they had to test the miracle for the first night. Since it's known that Hashem will not make a miracle in something that was done an avera, a sin, or something that became contaminated, meaning if Hashem is going to make a miracle, He is going to make a miracle in the most pure fashion, and Hashem will not waste His miracle on impure things or things that were sinned by. Therefore, they had to test to see if a miracle is going to happen even the first night to ascertain if this is pure or impure, meaning that they weren't sure if somebody lifted this flask of oil or not. They knew it was sealed by the seal of the Kohen Gadol, but still they weren't sure if it's impure or not. Therefore, they decided to put an eighth of the oil and see if a miracle is going to happen. Then obviously it was not contaminated by a non-Jew. But if the miracle doesn't happen, then they know that this oil is contaminated by non-Jew, and they would add more contaminated oil. Since they had plenty contaminated oil, they didn't have uncontaminated oil. Therefore, the rabbis decided that they're going to put an eighth of the oil in the candle, and then they will see if a miracle will happen, that the light will continue burning all night. Then they will know that the rest of the oil is pure, because Hashem will not make a miracle on something impure. But if no miracle will happen, then they will add more impure oil. There was no problem for them, because that would mean that the oil that they found is really impure, because a non-Jew lifted it up. That's what the Shoyle Meshiv answers. According to this, Sefer Shemen Roish says that this is what Yaakov told Esav. Esav asked, how is it possible that you have these women and children and they are two sisters, when you told me that you kept the 613 mitzvahs and it's prohibited to have two sisters? Therefore, Yaakov answered that from the fact that Elohim gave me these children, from there you could see that I didn't sin. Meaning, from the fact that Rachel, who was the illegal wife, because she was a second wife, and she had children, that proves that I did not sin with Rachel. Because if I would have sinned, Hashem would have not made a miracle for Rachel to have children. Because as it's known, Rachel was barren, and Hashem made a miracle and gave to Rachel Yosef. And the fact that Yosef was born to Rachel, that proves clearly that I did not transgress the prohibition of marrying two sisters by marrying Rachel. Sefer Shem and Rosh continues and says that according to this idea that we just mentioned, we could understand what is the interchange between Yaakov and Rachel in chapter 30, verse number 1. There the pasuk says, "Vatere Rachel, Rachel saw, ki lo yodol Yaakov, that she did not give birth to Yaakov. Vatekana Rachel b'choisa, Rachel became jealous in her sister. Vatoimer el Yaakov, she tells Yaakov, Havol Ivanim, give me children. Veim ein, and if you don't give me children, meisa noichi, I am dead." Then the Torah describes Yaakov's reaction. Vayicharav Yaakov b'Rachel. Yaakov became very angry at Rachel. Vayoimer, he says, "Atachas Elokim anoichi, am I instead of Elokim of Hashem? Hashem mona mimeich pri boten, that Hashem did not give you fruits of the womb?" Meaning, what do you want from me? Am I like Hashem that doesn't give you fruit of the womb? And all the Meforshim are bothered, number one, by Yaakov's reaction to Rachel, his beloved wife, when she asks him for children. A normal person would not get angry at his wife, would be very compassionate to his wife, and here Yaakov gets angry. And second, didn't Rachel know that children come from Hashem? What was she thinking, that Yaakov has to tell her, "Atachas Elokim anoichi, am I instead of Hashem that didn't give you children?" Obviously Rachel knew that. Then what was the interchange? But based on what we just said, Sefer Shem HaRosh explains that the interchange between Rachel and Yaakov is completely different. Meaning that Rachel was afraid that the fact that Yaakov married her, that Yaakov transgressed the transgression of marrying two sisters, and she was part of that transgression, meaning that she went ahead and married Yaakov, which was the husband of her sisters, that caused her to transgress, and that caused her not to have children. That's why she says, "Give me children," meaning that if you give me children, that will prove clearly that I did not sin by marrying you. Because the fact that I am barren and I have children, that will prove to everybody and to myself and to you that we did not sin by marrying each other, even though I am Leah's sister. But if you don't give me children, then meisa nochi, then I am considered as I would be dead. Because the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis says that Rishoim, that somebody who is evil, b'chayeyem kruim meisim, while they are alive, they are considered dead. That if Hashem doesn't give me children, then obviously that will mean that I transgress. And if I transgress, you transgress. And then I am considered as I would be dead. On that, Yaakov got very angry. How can you think that I would transgress the prohibition of having two sisters? Number one, the fact that you are a convert, and because you are a convert, then you are allowed to marry me, because there's no prohibition of two sisters. And even if I say that you're not a convert, then we have the answer of the Ramban, that the Ramban believes that if you are chutz laretz, we didn't have to keep Torah, and if you didn't have to keep Torah, then I'm allowed to marry you. But only in Eretz Yisrael, I can't marry you. Therefore, Yaakov says, "Atachas Elokim Anochi." Do you think that we are under Elokim, Hashem, which that means the land of Eretz Yisrael, which Eretz Yisrael is under direct control of Hashem, as the Pasuk writes down in Dvarim chapter 11, verse number 2, "Eretz asher Hashem Elokecho doresh oisa," a land that Hashem seeks out, "tomit eini Hashem Elokecho ba," always the eyes of Hashem are upon it, "mereshis Hashanah," from the beginning of the year, "ad achrishana," until the end of the year. We see from the Pasuk that there is closer supervision for Eretz Yisrael from Hashem. Hashem watches the whole world, but Eretz Yisrael, Hashem himself, watches over it, where the other nations of the world, Hashem sends an angel to watchers over them. Therefore, here, Yaakov was saying, Atachas Elohim Anoichi, am I under the auspices of Hashem, that then I would be transgressing the prohibition against marrying two sisters? We are outside of Eretz Yisrael. Then, no matter what, we did not transgress the prohibition of marrying two sisters. Number one, you are considered like a convert, and converts are considered like newborns, which lose their previous relationships. Therefore, your sister is halachically not your sister. And number two, we are not under the auspices of Hashem, meaning we are not in Eretz Yisrael. Then if you are not in Eretz Yisrael, even if you are not considered converts, I'm not required to keep the Torah. And if I'm not required to keep the Torah, then the reason that you don't have children is not because you transgress the prohibition of marrying two sisters. The reason is because Mona Mimech prevented that Hashem denied you a child, but not because you transgress the prohibition of marrying two sisters. Since we are discussing Yaakov marrying two sisters, I wanted to say a word that I saw from Sefer Zichroi Menachem. Sefer Zichroi Menachem explains that it's written on Achrei Mos, as we mentioned the pasuk previously, Ve'isho alachoyse lo yisikach, that you should not take a wife in addition to her sister, Litzroir, to become rivals, Legarois ervos oleo bechayeo, to show her nakedness while she's alive. We see clearly that this prohibition of marrying two sisters is different than the other prohibitions written in that parsha. Because regarding the two sisters, the Torah makes an exception that only bechayeo, only while one sister is still alive, you're not allowed to marry the other sister. But once the sister dies, then you are allowed to marry the other sister. But that is not so in the other relationships that are forbidden in that parsha. For example, your daughter-in-law and your mother-in-law, even though your wife is deceased or your son is deceased, nonetheless, those relationships would become prohibited forever. They don't depend on the one being alive. And yet your sister, it depends if the sister is alive or not. And the reason is because the Torah clearly says why you're not allowed to marry two sisters. Because the Torah says, Litzroir, because the Torah doesn't want one sister to be a rival to the other sister. The Torah knows that whenever you get a co-wife, they don't get along. They always fight for greater status in the relationship. The Torah did not want to break up a family. Therefore, the Torah says that you're not allowed to take one sister in addition to the other sister, because we don't want them to become rivals. We don't want to break up this beautiful relationship that sisters have. Now that they're going to be married to one husband, they're going to vie for more authority. They're going to vie for a position. Therefore, the Torah says that you're not allowed to do that. You cannot break the relationship of these two sisters. But after one sister is deceased, then you don't have a problem of breaking the relationship. Then you're allowed to marry the other sisters. Yaakov thought that since this is the reason of the Torah, this prohibition doesn't apply when we are talking about Rachel and Leah. Because as we know, Yaakov made a deal to marry Rachel, and not only did he make a deal, Yaakov suspected that Lavan was going to change the deal. Therefore, Yaakov gave Rachel simonim, signs, in order not to be fooled by Lavan, in order that Lavan shouldn't be able to change the wife that he's supposed to marry. And Rachel, when she saw that Lavan nonetheless brought Leah to the chuppah instead of Rachel, she decided that in order for her sister not to be embarrassed in front of everybody, she'll give over those simonim to Leah, like that Leah will be able to marry Yaakov. And Rachel at that time did not know that Yaakov is going still marry Rachel. Rachel probably thought that she gave up the relationship with Yaakov altogether. Therefore, Yaakov thought that in that case, where Rachel is willing to give up so much for the well-being of her sister, then Rachel could never become a tzara, a rival to Leah, because you see how Rachel was even willing to give up her husband, then how can she vie for position of who is going to be the leader of the house? Therefore, Yaakov thought that the prohibition of marrying two sisters doesn't apply to Rachel and Leah, because we see how they love each other so much that Rachel is even willing to give up her husband to Leah. But now that on chapter 30, pasuk number 1 says, "Vatere Rachel, Rachel saw, ki lo yoldo le Yaakov, that she did not give birth to Yaakov. Vatekane Rachel bachoisa, and Rachel became jealous on her sister, and she comes to Yaakov and says, Havoli banim, give me children. Veim ein, and if you don't give me children, meisa noichi, I'm going to be dead. Then Yaakov gets very angry, because Yaakov now realizes that if Rachel is jealous on Leah, then they are becoming tzores to one another, they are becoming rivals, and if they're becoming tzores to one another, then it's illegal for them to marry. Therefore, Yaakov became very angry on Rachel. He says, why are you jealous? Why are you acting this way? Hatachas Elokim Anoichi? Do you want to put me under the Midas Adin? Meaning that if you continue being jealous just because Hashem mana mimeich pribaten, just because Hashem did not give you any children, then if you do that, then you are putting me under Elokim, under the Midas Adin. Because the only reason that I married you is because I thought that you'll never become a rival to your sister. But now that you become a rival to your sister, then I'm under the auspices of justice. And because I'm under the auspices of justice, then I could never marry you. So that was a mistake to marry you. Therefore, Yaakov is angry at Rachel, that Rachel became jealous on her sister. And he's trying to say that Hashem is the one that didn't let you have children. Therefore, don't be jealous on your sister, because it's all from Hashem. Because if you're going to become jealous, then you are going to put me under Elohim, under the Midas Adin, under the attribute of justice, which is going to tell me that I did wrong. Because I only married you because I thought that you never become a rival to your sister. But if you become jealous, then I see that you become a rival to your sister. And according to this, Sefer Zichre Menachem answers an interesting Medrash Peliya, a perplexing Medrash. The Medrash Peliya is actually a Medrash Rabba on chapter 31, verse number 14. There, Yaakov Avinu is telling his wives that he wants to go back to Eretz Yisrael, that Hashem is the one that saved the wealth from Lavan to give to Yaakov, and now Hashem wants him to go back to Eretz Yisrael. There, the pasuk says, "Vatan Rachel v'Leah v'tomarna loy," that Rachel v'Leah answered and told them, "Hoyt lanu chelik v'nachla beveis avinu," do we still have a portion and inheritance in our father's house? "Haloy nachriyo is nechshavnu loy," we are considered like strangers to him, kimocharanu, because he sold us. "Vayoichel gam ochel es kaspeinu," now we should let them eat our money, meaning that they said they are going with Yaakov because Lavan treated them like strangers. On this pasuk, the Medrash says that since it says Vatan Rachel v'Leah, that Rachel and Leah answered, and it's written Rachel before Leah, the Medrash says Bishvil shekadma Rachel Leah, from the fact that Rachel is written before Leah, even though we know that Leah is the oldest one, therefore, loizachso likvur imoy bemaores haMachpelah. Rachel did not merit to be buried with Yaakov Avinu in the Machpelah cave. Meaning that because Rachel answered before Leah, did not give honor to Leah to let Leah answer first, therefore Rachel was buried outside the Machpelah cave. She did not merit to be buried together with Yaakov in the Machpelah cave. All the Mefarshim are bothered. How does the Medrash connect the fact that Rachel answered before Leah to the fact that she was not buried in the Machpelah cave? But according to what we mentioned previously from Sefer Zichre Menachem, he uses that explanation to answer this Medrash, meaning that, as we mentioned, the only reason that Yaakov thought that he could marry Rachel is because Yaakov thought that Rachel will never become a rival to Leah, and therefore the pasuk that says that you're not allowed to take a woman in addition to her sister because she'll become a rival does not apply to the relationship between Rachel and Leah. Therefore, Yaakov thought that he did not make a sin by marrying two sisters. But here, the pasuk says, Vatan Rachel veLeah, that Rachel answered in front of Leah. The fact that Rachel answered in front of Leah showed that Rachel thought that she is the Keres Abayis, and Rachel vied for the position of the principal woman of the house in front of Leah, because Leah was older and Rachel was younger, and Rachel should have given honor to Leah because she was the oldest one. And yet, Rachel jumped in front of Leah. That showed that Rachel believed that she is in a higher position in the house than Leah. That definitely shows rivalry between the sisters. If that shows rivalry between the sisters, then Yaakov Avinu was not right in marrying Rachel, because Rachel did become a rival to Leah, and the proof is that Rachel answered in front of Leah. Now that Rachel answered in front of Leah, then Yaakov Avinu technically transgressed the prohibition of having two sisters. Then Yaakov cannot bring Rachel to the Machpelah cave, because Yaakov is embarrassed by bringing a illegal wife to lay next to Yitzchak and Rivka, Avraham and Sarah, and Adam and Chava. Therefore, Yaakov has no choice, and Yaakov has to bring to the Machpelah cave Leah, which was his legal wife. Because after Rachel becomes jealous on Leah, then the relationship that they had is illegal. If the relationship they had is illegal, then Yaakov transgressed a crime, and Yaakov does not want to bring to the Machpelah cave the woman that he transgressed the crime with. So that answering before Leah caused Rachel not to be buried in Machpelah cave. Another answer I could adapt from Sefer Shemen Roish is that we know that there was a famous machloikis between Yosef and the brothers, if the Jewish people, before they received the Torah, they had the law of a Gentile and they could keep the Torah voluntarily, or they have the law of a Jew and they are required to keep the Torah. That is the machloikis between Yosef and the brothers, where Yosef believed that we have the law of the Gentile, therefore we are not allowed to eat animal that's still convulsing after Shechita, because a Gentile could only eat an animal after it's completely dead. Otherwise, it's considered Eve Minachai, a limb of a living animal, because it hasn't stopped convulsing yet. And the brothers believe that they have the law of a Jew, and since after Shechita is already considered dead, that even though the animal is convulsing, we are allowed to eat that animal. Because regarding the law of Eve Minachai, limb of a living animal, this animal is already considered dead after Shechita, after ritual slaughtering. That's why, according to the Medrash Rabbe, Yosef told, as Dibasom Ra El Aviyam, their evil reports to his father, as it's written on chapter 37, verse number 2. Sefer Pardas Yosef adds that Dibasom Ra, the evil reports, was bad El Aviyam to their father, meaning that the fact that the brothers ruled that they have the law of a Jew, that is bad to their father, because if they have the law of a Jew, then the father, Yaakov, erred in marrying Rachel, because you're not allowed to marry two sisters. If they have the law of a Gentile, then Yaakov didn't do anything wrong by marrying two sisters. But here, the brothers of Yosef rule that they have the law of a Jew. Now, if they have the law of a Jew, then Yaakov is guilty for marrying two sisters, and therefore, Sefer Pardas Yosef says that Yosef brought the evil reports to their father, which means the evil reports was bad to the father, because the brothers ruled that the Jewish people, before Torah was given, had the law of a Jew, and if that is so, then Yaakov transgressed by marrying two sisters, because the Jews are not allowed to marry two sisters. Comes out that Yaakov did not worry about marrying two sisters because Yaakov thought that they have the law of a Gentile, and if they have the law of a Gentile, then you could marry two sisters. The Gemara in Nozir, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph 61a, says that Nochri Yoresh Ezaviv Dvar Torah, that a Gentile is legally entitled to inherit his father based on Torah law. But the law of inheritance between a Gentile is different than the law's inheritance between Jews, meaning that normally if a Jew dies and he has sons and daughters, then only the sons inherit and the daughters do not inherit. But in Gentile law, if a Gentile dies and he has sons and daughters, then both the sons and daughters inherit that Gentile. In our story that we mentioned by the Medrash Peliya, by the perplexing Medrash, Yaakov Avinu is asking his wives to go with him back to Eretz Yisrael. And there, Rachel and Leah answered that, do we still have a portion and inheritance in our father's land? We are considered as strangers. Meaning that Rachel and Leah believed that they don't have an inheritance in their father's land. That is only possible if they have converted, because the halacha says that if they have converted, then min haTorah, based on biblical law, that Jewish person that converted does not inherit the father, the Gentile, based on Torah law. Rabbinically, the rabbi said in Masechtes Kedushin, Daf Yud Zayin Omed Beis 17b, that a Jewish person inherits his father who is a Gentile, because we are afraid that if we don't give him the money, he may change his mind and go back to his Gentile ways. But biblically, that Jew does not inherit his father, the Gentile, because once he converts, he is considered as a newborn person. Again, if he's a Gentile, then he inherits his father. But if he's a Jew, biblically he does not inherit his father. Here, Rachel says that we don't have a portion anymore in our father's inheritance. Then comes out, since Rachel said in front of Leah, then Rachel paskened the halacha that she is a Jewess, that she is not a Gentile anymore, because had she been a Gentile, she would still have a portion of inheritance in the father's house, but now that she is a Jewess, she has no portion of inheritance in her father's house. Once Rachel said that she believes that she is a Jewess, therefore she doesn't have a portion in her father's inheritance, then Rachel ruled, that before the Torah was given, she has the law of a Jewess. If that is so, then what she did by marrying Yaakov was illegal. Therefore, she was required to die, and therefore she could not be buried in Maraseh Machpelah. Meaning that the fact that she said first that she has no portion in the father's house, then she paskened l'alocha that she was a Jewess, that she doesn't inherit her father anymore, therefore she has nothing to stay there for. And once she said that she was a Jewess, then technically Yaakov now transgressed by marrying her, because she was the wife's sister, and because of that, she could not be buried in Me'oras HaMachpelah. Sefer Shemen Rosh asks, but what's the difference who said first? Both of them said the same thing, meaning Rachel and Leah, both of them said this statement that they have no portion inheritance in their father's house. Then what does the Medrash say? That the fact that she said before Leah, therefore she was punished, that she shouldn't be buried. Had she said after Leah, would have been okay. But if she said that statement, and that statement means that she is a Jewess, then what's the difference if she said it before Leah, or she said it after Leah? Therefore, Sefer Shemen Rosh answers that had she said it after Leah, we could say that the only reason Rachel said that is in order not to contradict her sister. Meaning that we could have said that Rachel really holds that we have the law of a Gentile, but once Leah mentioned that we have the law of a Jew, then Rachel didn't want to contradict her. But now that Rachel said this statement before Leah, that clearly shows that her opinion was that they don't have a portion in their father's inheritance, And if they don't have a portion in the father's inheritance, then she's a Jewess. And if she's a Jewess, then she cannot be buried in Maraso Machpelah, because then Yaakov transgressed by marrying two sisters. And according to this, I wanted to say we could understand why Yosef did not understand why Yaakov Avinu buried Rachel Imenu on the road. Meaning that since, according to Yosef, the Jewish people before Matan Torah, before Torah was given, had the law of a Gentile, then Yosef did not understand why Yaakov Avinu did not take Rachel Imenu to the Maras Machpelah. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu had to tell him on Parshas Vayechi, on Bereshis chapter 48, verse number 7, which Rashi says, Avolda, you should know, shall pia dibur kevartio sham, that because of the word, I buried her there. Normally, it's meant to translate, that because of the word of Hashem, I buried her there. As Rashi explains, that once the Jewish people are going to be exiled, Hashem wanted the grave of Rachel Imenu to be on the road, like that when the Jewish people pass by her grave, they will pray, and she will beseech the heaven that Hashem should help her children, and eventually Hashem will say that because of you, I will help the children, and the children will come back to Eretz Yisrael. But Sefer Shemen Roish now gives a different interpretation, and he says that when it's written that Al Pi HaDibur Ekareo Sham, that I bury her there because of the speech, doesn't mean the speech of Hashem, it means the speech of Rachel Imenu herself. Meaning that true that you, Yosef HaTzadik, and I, Yaakov Avinu, hold that before Torah was given, we have the law of a Gentile. But Rachel Imenu sealed her fate by her speech. Because of the fact that she spoke the words that we don't have an inheritance in our father's house, and she spoke those words before Leah, that what sealed her fate that she should not be buried in Maariv Machpelah. When it says, Avoda, you should know, shall pia dibur kvartio sham, that because of the speech I buried her there, it was really the speech of Rachel that caused her to be buried there. From here we see how important it is to watch over your speech, and if we watch over our speech and use the speech only for good and do not hurt anybody by our speech, then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheira b'yomeinu, Amen.